Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
All right, the message today is the weak and the strong. That's what we're talking about today. We're continuing our Journey Through Romans series, and we will be in Romans 14, verses 1 through 12 this morning, and we'll finish out the chapter tonight. We're going to talk about some exciting and some controversial things, and you'll definitely want to come back tonight because I'm going to talk about more controversial stuff tonight. So if you enjoy this morning, you'll really enjoy tonight. But the weak and the strong. Romans 14 talks about something that Baptists believe in strongly, which is liberty of conscience, or in the Baptist acrostic, we would say individual soul liberty, because it fits for the I, but it's liberty of conscience. And what that means is that we believe that people should be able to read the Bible and follow the Bible according to their own conscience. And we don't want to, we don't believe that we should dictate to people's conscience. And so if something's not clear in the Bible, then we have liberty. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So I'll just read a couple of verses and then we'll pray and then we'll begin. Him that is weak in the faith, this is verse 1 of chapter 14 of Romans, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So let's discuss that today after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we study your word and help us to learn from your word today. I pray that you would just guide what is said here this morning and help us to say what needs to be said and keep us from saying what we don't need to say. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would bless, and we ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Miss Shirley has requested that we do a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. So when the Romans series is over, I will begin a multi-week series on the Holy Spirit that I think you'll enjoy. We're going to do a study of that. I've been working on a book on the Holy Spirit since 2015, I believe, and may have been before that, but nonetheless, I've never finished it, so I'm going to, as I preach through, I'm going to be writing, so by the time it's done, we'll probably have a new book on the Holy Spirit, which I'm excited about, but it'll be an exciting study. So we'll talk more about that later, but right now we'll get to our first point in our study of Romans 14, which is the judgment of the weak and strong. The judgment of the weak and strong. Now verse 1 says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now what this is talking about is, in this church at Rome, there were people who would come to the church that were weak in the faith. Now, they were in the faith, which means they were saved. They believed the Bible. They believed in Jesus Christ. They were born again, but they were weak in the faith. Now, usually when we think of the weak, a weak believer, we think of somebody who is immature. But in this passage of Scripture, the weak believers are actually the people today in some circles that are thought of as the strongest believers. I'm going to show you what I mean. There are circles of Christians that I have come from and that I work with sometimes, and those Christians in those circles may believe that certain things are wrong, that the Bible doesn't speak about. And it used to be that the more separated you were with those types of things, with those types of rules, that the more spiritual you were thought to be. In other words, the more stuff you were against, the more spiritual you were. So if a person is against certain kinds of music, and if they're against women wearing breeches, and if they're against this and that, and you can go down a litany of things, if they're against all that kind of stuff, then they're thought of as more spiritual than somebody else. For instance, somebody won't go to the movie theater. I used to wouldn't go to the movie theater. Now I love going to the movie theater. I don't love paying for it, but I like seeing movies. It's a nice night out with my wife, and we just got some movie tickets at work that we won because my wife was voted. She won. What is that thing? Yeah, she got Employee of the Month. That exciting. So, and then I hit her in the face. Not really. I was trying to steal her movie tickets and just, not really, no. Don't ever pull a china cabinet on yourself, though, because it will bruise you. Just a word of warning there. Nonetheless, there's people against going to the movies and all these kind of things, and we usually think of these people as the strongest Christians. Yet you'll see from this study that when a person has lots of rules that are not in the Bible actually says they are weak in the faith. Okay? Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. That means that we are to receive them, but not for the purpose of having arguments, not for the purpose of disputing things that are doubtful, that are not clear in Scripture. Just to illustrate that, my wife and I had some folks stay with us years ago in our home, and they were against everything. They are very nice people, but they're against everything. They came to our home at Christmas, and we had our Christmas tree up, and he proceeded to tell me that it was what was wrong with Christmas trees at my house, you know. But I didn't argue with him. I just smiled, and I thought, well, you know, this is different, you know, and just went through. And they're very nice people, but that's just the way they were. So when we receive people in the church, the tendency is to want to debate stuff, but you're not to receive these people to the point of debating stuff. It's better if they're not here. And by the way, there's people here, all kinds of people that disagree about all kinds of things, but if it's not in the Bible, it's not something that we need to debate in church. It's just not worth it. Have your opinion, that's fine. I have mine, you have yours. Now, verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now, this is an illustration. This is not really going on today, but it's a principle. The point is that what's mentioned here was going on at the church at Rome, but it's a principle we can use today. So, one believes that he can eat all things. One eats ham, and you know, the Jews were not supposed to eat pork and other unclean animals and ceremonially unclean animals. And so one comes in, he believes he can eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Now again, we would look at the person who doesn't do, who won't eat the bacon. Well, actually, I look at people that won't eat bacon and I think, what's wrong with these people? I know there's health reasons, okay, so I'm not talking about that. But nonetheless, bacon is good. It's not good for you, but it's good. But one believeth he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And we would look at the weaker person and say, man, what standards he has. He's got standards. He won't eat the bacon and the ham and all those things. But in fact, the Bible says he's weak. He's a vegetarian. He just eats herbs. Wouldn't that be nasty? Really, he's a vegetarian, basically. I read this article in the news about this girl who was a vegetarian, but she developed a disease, some kind of immune disease, and now all she can eat is meat. And so she eats meat all the time in order to get the protein and everything. And it's just it helps her, but it was fascinating. But at any rate, one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now listen to what the Bible says, because we're talking about the judgment of the weak and the strong. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So, this is a simple principle. If you can eat, don't despise him that doesn't eat. And if you don't eat, don't judge him that eats, for God hath received him. Now, I've seen this carried out in a church, and just to put it in something more modern, I was in a church years ago, probably 25 years ago, visited a church in Tennessee, and apparently they were having a debate over television, whether or not you should have a television. And a bunch of people had thrown their televisions out. And so, now I personally, we went without television for years, my wife and I, because I didn't want to pay for it, so I didn't have it. We watched shows on the Netflix and whatnot. But at any rate, these people had thrown their televisions out. And there were other people that thought they were stupid for having done this. And so they were debating within the church. And the pastor got up and he said, I didn't hear the debate, but I know it was going on because of what the pastor said. So the pastor got up and he said, now, those of you who have thrown out your TVs, don't criticize those people that have TVs. And he said, and those of you that have TVs, don't judge the people that threw out their TVs. They want to throw out their TVs, it's fine. And those of you that have thrown them out, don't say these people aren't spiritual. Just keep it to yourself and throw out your TV. And those of you that want to keep TVs, keep it. Now that's a perfect application of this verse. It's just, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So who are we to judge another man's servant? Now, we don't really understand this today, because none of us have servants, as far as I know. Do any of you have servants? No. But just to flip it around, let's say that I went to your house. Let's say I went to your house and your wife served me some sweet tea. And I didn't like it. So I criticized your wife and said, you ought not to make tea that way. How would you feel about that, men? Wouldn't like that too much, would you? And that's the kind of the idea here, is you don't go to a man's house and criticize his servant. Only the master can criticize his own servant. That makes me think of an illustration. A friend of mine and I were overseas one time, and woman of the house had prepared a chicken, I think it was. And my friend was concerned, because the way they prepare it over there is they baste it and then leave it out on the counter. And that's, nobody gets sick from it. But he thought that it was not healthy. And so he thought we'd get sick. So do you think we said anything to the woman of the house? Absolutely not. we talked to her husband and said, look, we're a little scared of this. And he said, well, it's normal practice over here, but I'll take care of it. So they fixed us something else to eat. But you don't talk to, in this context, in Romans 14:4, you don't judge another man's servant. To his own master, he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So if a person in this church is able to do something that you think is wrong, then don't judge them. They're not your servant, they're God's. They belong to God. To their own master, they will stand or fall. God is able to make them stand, so leave them to God to judge. You may think it's wrong, but it may not be clear in the Bible. Okay, there's certain things we know are wrong because the Bible says they're wrong. Fornication's wrong. Adultery's wrong. Lying's wrong. We know all of that. But there are things that the Bible's not specific about. So let's not judge because God will judge that person. So we've looked at the judgment of the weak and the strong. Now we'll look at the mind of the weak and the strong. The mind of the weak and the strong. Now, we're not talking about people that have weak minds. There's some people that have weak minds. I was about to insult you, but since you're sitting in the back, I won't. The problem is I insult Johnny and then I get irritated when he insults me while I'm preaching, but it's not really fair because I'm insulting him while I'm preaching. So I've got to stop doing it. Johnny's actually very smart. He just appears to be weird. But he's extremely intelligent. That's okay. It's all right. Now I used to give Johnny my books. There were some books I didn't care to read, but I wanted to know what was in them, so I would give him my books and he would read them for me because he reads all the time. So he would read the books and give me like cliff notes on the context of the books. He would go through the book and tell me, this person says this, and this is what it says, and this is what I think of it, and so on and so forth. So, verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. You see, now he switched from food to special days, the Sabbath day and Jewish holidays and all that kind of thing. And the point is that these things, these principles can be applied to anything. That's why we can apply them to movies and music. We can apply them to anything. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, the mind of the weak and the strong must be fully persuaded. God wants you to be sure that you have biblical grounds for what you believe. So you must be fully persuaded. You need to have faith. And this is why. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So everything we do, whether we do something or we don't do something, we ultimately do it as an act of worship to God. And so be fully persuaded that what you are doing is biblical. And if you're going to teach that something's wrong, this is a danger for preachers because preachers will get up sometimes and preach against stuff and they really don't have biblical grounds for it. And it's very dangerous to put men's consciences to imprison men's consciences because of something you believe that you don't have biblical grounds for. And I try to avoid doing that. because I've seen that done. I know people that preach against movies that go to movies. That's hypocrisy. But it's just because it's the common thing to preach against it. And so we just need to be cautious and be fully persuaded in our minds. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, verse 9, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So there's the gospel. Christ died, rose, and revived. But Christ is the Lord of the dead and the living. So everything is done ultimately to the Lord as an act of worship to the Lord. So if you don't do something, don't do it to the Lord. If you have a standard, a belief against doing a certain thing, then have that belief to the Lord. That's fine. And if you allow yourself to do something, do it unto the Lord. Do it unto the Lord. All right. Now the third point. Is everybody okay? All right. Anybody mad? All right. We'll move on. So we've talked about the judgment of the weak and strong, the mind of the weak and the strong, and now we see the judge of the weak and the strong. Who is the judge of the weak and the strong in the church? It is God. God. God is the judge. Now, verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not or at nothing?" It's like despising your brother. Why do you set it not your brother? "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Ultimately, we will all be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And because we will give account of ourselves to God and not another person, then just make sure that what you're doing is what you believe is right with God. Be sure you're right with God. In other words, there's music that I can listen to that I think's perfectly fine that somebody else may not think is fine. But I can't allow myself to be judged by that person. I have to answer to God for myself. I have lived underneath the rules and regulations of other people before. And when you do that, you're not really living under God. You've got to answer to God. You've got to study the Bible for yourself. You've got to figure out what the Bible teaches. You've got to obey the Bible yourself. You've got to obey the Bible yourself. And so, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that is what individual soul liberty, that is what liberty of conscience, a belief that Baptists are supposed to have. Not all Baptists follow it, but it's something we're supposed to believe. That's what it means, liberty of conscience. It means that we believe that every man has the right to study the Bible and say, "This is what I believe the Bible teaches. This is what I'm going to do." We believe that. If the Bible's not clear about something, we do not need to make an issue out of it. And that's why we'll have individuality in the church. So let me summarize all this for us. In summary, don't argue about things that aren't in the Bible. Don't argue about things that are not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not worth debating. I've heard for years people argue about stuff that's not in the Bible. I had somebody one time tell me that a certain thing was wrong, and I said, "Why is it wrong?" And he said, "Because it is worldly." And I said, "Where's the scripture?" And he quoted to me Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? So he said, be not conformed to this world. We're not to be like the world. And I said, well, how is this certain thing like the world? And he said, well, it's like the world because unsaved people do it. And I said, okay, that's not what it means to be like the world. Now, I didn't go on because it's, you know, it's an argument. It's useless. But biblically, for something to be like the world, you have to say, what does the Bible say is the world? That takes us to 1 John. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the world is made up of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Is it whatever I think it is, or is it what the Bible says it is? Obviously, it's what the Bible says it is. So then I have to go to the law of first mention. When you're studying the Bible, there's a law of first mention. What does the Bible say the first time something's mentioned? There's a law of full mention. What does the Bible say all the way through? And then there's a law of final mention, the last time something is mentioned. So I go to the law of first mention the first time that that is mentioned. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that's in the world is in the book of Genesis, where Eve was tempted. And the Bible says that the woman saw the tree, and somebody help me out, because I don't want to, I may have to turn to it. Let me turn to it. We're almost through here, but I want to, I want to point to this. I'll go to Genesis 3. All right, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, there you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, there is the first temptation, and we see those three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that's in the world. Why was it sin? Why was it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life to eat the fruit off that tree and to desire to do it? Simple. Because God said, don't do it. Don't eat it. Therefore, we can logically conclude that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is lusting after, looking at something, or being prideful about things that God says no to. So if God doesn't say that it's wrong in the Bible, then it's not worldly. It's not worldly because we think it's worldly. It's worldly because it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all that's in the world. And if the Bible doesn't say it's wrong, Eve could have eaten of any tree in the garden but one. The only reason she couldn't eat of that one is because God said, don't do it. That was sin. Things are not worldly because we think they're worldly. They're worldly because the Bible says they're worldly. They're wrong. So we obey the Bible. We go back to the Bible. So don't argue about things that aren't in the Bible. Now, Tonight we're going to talk about the fact that some there's things that are wrong for some people that aren't wrong for other people. We'll talk about that tonight. That's what the Bible teaches, and it's going to be controversial as well. I'm saying controversial because traditionally people love controversy. So if you say stuff's controversial, people come back. I was preaching at McFarland Hill one time years and years ago, and I think it was McFarland Hill. Isn't that the church that's across from Parker's Restaurant on Walnut Avenue? Welcome Hill. I was preaching at Welcome Hill, and a Sunday morning I preached, and I had read this book that said you should stir up some controversy to get people to come back. So I was stupid. So I preached Sunday morning. I preached Sunday morning, and I said, and Sunday night I'm going to preach this same passage, but I'm going to preach some heresy. Well, Sunday night I got up to preach, and the deacons were all sitting around the front row, and they were ready to take me down if I said anything heretical, so I learned not to do that in the future. But anyway, don't argue about things that aren't in the Bible. Be fully persuaded about your liberty. Have a clear conscience about your liberty. Be fully persuaded about it. Be sure that's what it's okay with Scripture. And remember that you will ultimately give account to God. So be prepared. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Be prepared to give account to God. It is all about a personal relationship with God. And that's what God wants. It's not about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship. Though the Bible has rules, let's be sure we obey the ones that are in the Bible. And the things that aren't, we need a relationship with God, not extra things. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for this word from Romans 14. I thank you that we have liberty of conscience. I thank you that in the church we have both weak and strong, and that we're not to judge the weak if we're strong and the weak aren't to judge us. We know we all have personal convictions, different things we believe, and we just pray we would follow your word and do what the Bible teaches and obey you to the best of our conscience, because we'll have to give account to you one day. And we just pray that you would help us to do that. We pray if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that you would convict them, save their souls today. We thank you that Jesus died and was buried and rose again from the dead so that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We praise your name for the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.